Father God, we thank you so much for the word again today. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit as always to minister spiritual revelation and direction to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll help us today to get out everything that needs to be said and have everything done that needs to be done. We thank you that you quicken us and you quicken our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Well, we're going to pick back up with the singles advance again. Don't forget, if you have questions, you get one of those pieces of paper or any paper that you have, put it in there. I went through the other questions from yesterday and had time to go through that. I want to go through the rest of them. Just fill them out as you have them. Maybe I said something that's not quite clear or you need a little more elaboration. We'll be happy to do it, or some subject we don't cover. I want it to be for you, and we want to cover what you need covered. Now, I want to go back to the fact of saying that when you're single, there's nothing wrong with being single. You should enjoy being single. You have what that married people don't have?
Freedom.
Single people have freedom. You can worship the Lord as long as you want to. You can pray as long as you want to. You can study the Bible as long as you want to, anytime you want to. You can move overseas as a missionary if you want to. You can develop spiritually faster than a married person. And that's an important point. You are not going to develop faster when you get married spiritually. Your spiritual development is going to slow down when you get married, because you don't have the time when you got to. The Bible says the married man has to mind the things that doth please his wife, and the married woman minds the things that doth please her husband. But the single person minds the things that doth please the Lord. So if you feel like doing Bible study, you got an unction or prompting from the Holy Spirit, you go do Bible study. If you got three or four kids at home and it's time to eat, you better go do that, because you'll find out the word of God and the promptings of the Holy Spirit will redefine. It may have been, if you were single, God would have you follow that up now. Now he's going to say, no, you follow it up late at night when you're tired, or get up extra early morning because you got to feed your family. And then, man, well, you know, I got the Lord and I want to just take a month off and do that. No, you got more bills, more expensive. You can't do that. You might want to go live in a pup tent for a month and be happy, but you can't drag your family off on that. You got to work so there can be money and food in the house. So think about those kind of things. Singleness is a wonderful thing. A single person is actually in a better position. A single person can give all or nearly all of his or her time to God, to worshiping God, to the things of God, to ministry. Open your Bibles in Matthew 19. Let's take a look at some scriptures there. I told you we talk a little bit about eunuchs. Eunuchs, and can be a man or a woman. They're talking about a man, particularly in this sense. So a lot of Bibles written to the man, knowing the man would be have the headship. Matthew 19:3, and we're going to read through verse 12. It is okay to be single. There's nothing wrong with being single. Matthew 19:3-12. Are you there?
Yes.
It says, for there are some eunuchs which were born so from their mother's womb. Some people are born with no desire to get married. Some people were born, even sometimes in extreme cases, without the physical organs working or some kind of problem. Yes. Matthew 19. Which one is it? Matthew 19. Let me see what I've got. I've got Matthew 19. Pick it up because I'm taking it out of my notes. Let me forget to Matthew. I want Matthew what? 12? Matthew 19:12. Oh, I'm sorry. Where did I get 3 from? Matthew 19:12. Okay. Matthew 19:12. Are you there?
Yes.
And you had to tell me when we reach the end of it, because I'm not sure where I started at here now, what I've written. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs by men. At that time, they, you know, castrate you, kind of like in slavery. If you run away and different things, they might castrate you, or other things. They might not want you getting the women pregnant. They might castrate you. But some were born eunuchs of their mother's womb. Others were made eunuchs. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Their people, for the kingdom of heaven's sake, have said, I am not going to marry. Paul was such a person. He didn't go and cut off anything. He just said, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to spend time like that. An acquaintance of ours, a fellow Rhema grad, Kate McVeigh, who's a tremendous minister, a woman, she travels, she ministers, she's beautiful. Everybody said, Kate, why don't you get married? She said, you know, I have no need of that right now. I have no need of that. I'm out ministering. I know if I get married, I got to find a man. It's going to be long. They got to find all this. That doesn't mean you can't be in ministry. Joyce Meyer's in ministry. She has a man. But Kate said, I don't want to go through all that. I don't want to be under authority. I don't want to do any of that. I want to go do this. This is what's in my heart to do. I'm content not to have a man. And people are still trying to say, Kate, guys look at her and say, Kate, you need to get married. God told me you're supposed to be my wife. She's pretty. She's sharp. She, I mean, the woman is just impressive as a woman. Very strong woman. And so, of course, she's drawing me, and she don't even want one, but she's drawing him because she's got what a good man wants. She's a good woman. She's sharp. She's on the ball. She's pushing them off. People always, why don't you get married? But Kay said, look, she's kind of like a nun situation. I'm satisfied with this. I'm giving myself to the Lord. This is what I'm doing. This point in life, this is what I'm doing. I have no desire, no need. She has made herself, as it were, somebody who will not have sex. Paul did the same thing. His sexual organs worked. Everything was fine. But he said, because of the distress of this present time, it's better that I remain. I suggest you do the same. Wasn't of commandment, but just of opinion. Let's look down here a little further. It said, themselves eunuchs for what? For the kingdom of heaven's sake. So it's possible to make yourself a eunuch and not get married and stay single for the kingdom of heaven's sake. It's possible to be born in a situation where you have no desire to be married. Doesn't mean you're gay. Doesn't mean something's wrong with you. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Everybody cannot receive that. Most people want to be married and should be married and will be married. But there are some that don't, so don't pressure them. You're getting to be an old maid. What's wrong with you, God? You're sowing your wild oats. Let them be what they're going to be. There's nothing wrong with them just because they're not fitting your stereotype. Eunuchs in the Vine's Expository Dictionary says, an emasculated man, one naturally incapacitated for or voluntarily abstaining from wedlock. Emphasis L-O-C-K, you get locked. Wedlock. He decided he don't want to be in wedlock. She decided she doesn't want to be locked to some man. Don't want the wedlock. Singles should notice that at your wedding, you get locked in the holy matrimony. Don't ever overlook that, because that lock is not the same freedom. You will never have the same freedom you have once you get married that you had when you were single. You'll never have it again unless your spouse dies, you kill him or something. You're locked. They call it wedlock. It's holy, but it's a lock. Understand that. Those who are married and have been divorced, you know what I'm talking about. You can't just go and come and do what you want to. Singles should notice that you will be in wedlock. A eunuch is an unmarried man who chooses to remain single. The Apostle Paul chose to become a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 7, 7. First, talking about being single. It's okay to be single. Nothing's wrong with you if you're single. 1 Corinthians 7. Let me get there myself. 1 Corinthians 7, and we'll start with verse 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. Are you there? Yes. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. We're going to get a lot of material today, so we're going to be moving. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. It says, for I would that all men were even as I myself, Paul said. But every man hath his proper what? Gift. So Paul said, I have a gift that I don't have to have a woman. I'm not burning. I'm not masturbating all over the place. I'm not doing all this stuff all over the place. I'm fine. That doesn't mean he doesn't say, oh, woman's beautiful, I appreciate a woman. It doesn't mean that at all. That means he's been castrated. But he said, you know what? I have a gift that doesn't bother me. I don't care. If I don't get married, I don't care. Some people must get married. Paul said, I don't care. He wasn't burning. He wasn't inflamed. He didn't care. And there was nothing wrong with Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a man of men. Ain't nobody any manlier than Apostle Paul. Nothing feminine about him at all. Nothing unspiritual about him. You think women didn't want to marry Paul? Yeah, everybody wanted to marry a man like that, just like everybody wanted to marry a spiritual woman. But Paul had no need for that. He says, I would that all men were even as I myself, but I understand not every man has his proper gift. One after this manner, another after that, talking about not everybody's got the gift of being able to remain single, but there's nothing wrong with it. If I say therefore to the unmarried and the widow, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than burn. And of course, if you got the desire, don't try and be what the asceticistic teaching of the Catholic Church has been. If you get into ministry, you have to give up desire for a woman. That's not a switch that you flip. Most Catholic priests want to be married and should be allowed to be married, and the Word of God allows them to be married. But the asceticistic teaching of the Catholic Church says you can't give yourself to God in ministry and also. Why? These other people, Moses ministered to estimating nearly 2 million people. And he had a wife. Solomon ministered to that whole nation, and he had many wives. I don't know why somebody would have to be single. It's not a biblical thing. It's some religious thinking. We want you to give the full 100%. And Paul said this ain't for everybody. And I don't believe God said everybody that goes in ministry must have the gift. I don't have that gift. I want to be married. I am married. Most ministers want to be married. Most of you, if not all of you, want to be married. Should we not go in ministry? No, that's poor teaching. That's poor biblical scholarship. Paul did what Paul did, but Paul said he had a gift. They took that example and said a minister shouldn't get married. Peter had a wife. Remember when they said Jesus went and ministered to Peter's mother-in-law? Peter's mother-in-law was sick. You know, you got a wife to have a mother-in-law. That's usually the way it goes. And Peter was one of the pillars of the church. Next to Jesus, he was one of the pillars of the church. Peter had a wife. Peter, the Catholics called the first pope. The first pope had a wife then, in that sense. How come the other ones can't have a wife? See, it doesn't make any sense. It's flesh. It's misinterpretation of scripture. But it's nothing wrong with Paul staying single, and it was nothing wrong with Peter having a wife. Nothing wrong at all. To burn means to be inflamed with lust. Paul called the ability to remain single a gift. Paul remained single all of his life. Now, look in verse 25, same chapter, verse 25. Now, concerning virgins. Now, in the Bible, they call a married woman. It's really not a clear word between, when they say virgin, that's the same thing as unmarried. That's technically, in the literal sense, woman who hadn't had sex. Unmarried woman. See, that was the same thing. Because in some cultures, once you have sex, you're married. Some cultures, once you have sex, you're married. And in the biblical and the Hebrew, because people didn't go around practicing wild lifestyles, if you were a virgin, you were considered single. It was clear that you were single. And then if you were not a virgin, it was clear you were married or widow. Because, see, in the Jewish ceremony, even the sexual consummation is part of the marriage. You go down and you go through the thing, you step on the glass, you do all that. The party is going on. You take your wife upstairs, out back. You guys have sex. Then you come back and join the party. They consummated the marriage. That was part of the wedding ceremony. And you would go and do that and come back. The honeymoon is right there, as it were. And you come right back down. They even had things where if there was some question about the virginity of the girl, he would bring back the hymen. And prove to her father or to his parents that she is a virgin. I'm the only man that's been with her. How'd you like to have that custom? Some brothers would be coming back empty handed, wouldn't they? They'd be like, I can give you a whole one from another girl I spoiled, but hers, I don't know where it is. You know? Think about it. It's kind of like we had these funny customs. I always laugh about the people and they fighting about white dresses and white stuff and all this. I say, should you be wearing white? We don't follow all the customs, so don't pretend like you do. Right. You know, you do what you want to do, so do what you want to do. I don't believe you have to wear no pink or red dress if you had sex before, but I also don't believe in all the rest stuff about how a guy got to look and all this other mess either. It's just tradition. Just tradition. But if you decide you want to be under the law, and under types of tradition, then stay under it all the way. Wear a scarlet dress to your wedding or whatever you got to wear. Put a scarlet S on your chest. Like, you know, oh, that's ridiculous. You don't need to do any of that. Don't get caught up in the traditions of men. Stay free in the liberty of God. Verse 25 again, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. But yet I give you my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this good for this present time, I say. Now, God is not saying you have to stay single. Paul's making that clear. But he said, because of the present time, this is not that present time. At that present time, it's better that you remain single because of the trouble of the day. Now, I understand what Paul's saying. So Paul did say, the Lord is not commanding me, so the church can't go preach, you have to stay single. Whether you're in ministry or not in ministry, you can't go preach that because Paul says, I have no commandment of the Lord on this, yet I give you my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord in order to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for this present time or distress. I say that it is good for man so to be. Paul said it is good for a man to remain single. At that time, under those circumstances, in that situation, God does not command people to get married. God does not command people to stay single. It is their prerogative. There's nothing wrong with people getting married. Oh, you couldn't handle it. You're burning. You're full of lust. That's why you got married. You're not strong as me. Single person, tell the married person. Married person, oh, man, you gay. You don't have a desire for women. Something wrong with you. Because you start getting old enough in this society we're in now, you start wondering, I wonder if he gay. You know? He's a nice looking young man and nice guy. He got a good job. Why do you have kids? You think he gay? See, where do we get this stuff from? The world? God is saying not everybody's going to want to get married, and that doesn't make them gay. And there are people who don't want to be married, that got married because of peer pressure and still don't want to be married, so they don't act right in marriage. They ignore the spouse, they go on about their way. Because really, they have no desire for a wife. They're not interested in the maintenance of a wife nor the maintenance of a husband. They don't even desire that. But peer pressure of non-spiritual people coerce them to do something and get in a situation they should not be in, they're not ready for, prepared for, and never going to be ready for because they're not interested in it. Be careful about other people leading your future. Follow God. Paul said in verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife, seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from wife, don't seek a wife. At that time, I need a present day situation. Verse 28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, because this is not a commandment of the Lord. And if a virgin marry, she is not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. It's kind of like when Israel was praying and saying, oh, God, give us a king. God said, I gave you the judges. You don't need a king. Just follow my law. No, we want a king. If you get a king, he's going to tax you and make you build his castle and burden you and all that. We want a king. The other people have a king and we want a king. All right, I tried to tell you the trouble you're going to have. Hard head thing. Now, Israel had problems when they got a king. They had sometimes a good king, sometimes they had Ahab. They had a bad king. Sometimes they had Jezebel, who was running Ahab, the king. It was sometimes good, it was sometimes bad. The kingdom split, the northern kingdom, southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. Just all kind of mess happened because of the bureaucracy the man insisted on having, a king. Now, literally, some people just dying to get married. If you're a woman, when you get married, you're going to get a king. And the king is going to have things that he wants done, and you're going to have to, as the Bible says, be in subjection to those things. Not talking about anything ungodly, immoral, unethical, anything like that. But you can't run your own world when God says a woman has been created, a wife has been created, and when you marry a man, you're saying, I'm hooking myself up with you to help you fulfill the vision that's in your heart. You are giving up more in marriage than a man is giving up. Both of you are giving up something because he's giving up some freedom, too. He's got forsaking all others, cleave only to this woman. So he's giving up something, too. But I always believe in a mother mind that women give up more. So you need to be wiser before you give it up, because some give it up, then decide, I really want to be my own woman. When you're in marriage, you're his woman. You were your own by yourself, and even then you were the Lord's. And you're still the Lord's. But the Lord redefines the virgin, the single woman, from the married woman. There are things he says to a married woman, submit to your husband. He doesn't tell a single woman, submit to men. So there's going to be differences. Also, as a single man, I don't have to spend my money on anybody. I don't have to like you, accept you. If I don't want to spend money on you, I can just look at you. Spend no money on you. But you're my wife. I have to take care of you. I'm worse than a sinner before the Lord. You lose that freedom. Keep that in mind. It's not a bad thing to be single if that's what you want to do. Nevertheless, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, in verse 28. And if a virgin marry, she's not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. That word trouble in the Hebrew is agitation, disturbance, tribulation, and pressure. Some of you know some married people. Some of you have been married. Dude, some of them seem like they have some agitation. Some agitation, some disturbances, some tribulation, and they're under pressure sometimes from the other person. Yeah. I mean, just being honest. One person be honest. Some married people lie to you and try to pretend like it's all rosy till you get in it. But some of you been divorced and all that. You know there's trouble when you are not perfect and you hook up with somebody else not perfect and you get involved in something as intimate as a marriage relationship. Because your fleshes begin to rub, and that creates trouble, agitation, disturbance. If you're a dirty person, you can keep your house how you want to. If you get married and you marry a clean person, they're going to be agitating you unless they're spiritually mature where they say, that's who I married, I accept them the way they are, which most of them are. They're going to be, you need to do this, you need to do that. You won't even be able to come in your house and it be like your house when you were single. Just come in and it's mine. Just do it. Leave me alone. Baby, you need to pick that up. Honey, you need to do this. You ought to do this like this. Like, will you quit aggravating me? I'm not you. Leave me alone. Just love me. Don't mess with me. Leave me alone. Can't have no peace. That's what some married people go through. You can get married, but know that there should be trouble in the flesh. So you better make sure that person is least fleshly and spiritually mature as you're ready for, and make sure you're spiritually mature as you're ready, so there'll be less trouble in the flesh. But know this, there will be some. Because you cannot marry yourself. That's illegal in at least 50 states and a few provinces. You're going to marry somebody who's different than you somewhere. And you all going to do like this, and it's going to be rubbing. And God said, unless it's illegal or more unethical, it's going to be his way. So be aware of that. Because see, that God didn't want the rubbing, and the way he fixed the rubbing is, unless it's illegal or more unethical, it's his way. That's why one has to submit. When you go to work, one has to submit. Ain't no fussing and fighting. The boss say it's within your job description. I need you to go do it. You just go do it. Your husband say, hey, this right here, baby, we're going to do it like this. We're going to do it like that. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. I just don't feel that. I just don't. Egyptian. He doesn't care. Flow. And that's the word of God saying you're going to have to flow. If you're not ready to flow, you're not spiritual enough to let somebody else and to trust and have confidence in somebody else to look out for you. If you're too independent for that, stay independent. By yourself, men or women, stay by yourself. I believe women give up more. That's why I teach it like this, because I want you to make sure you don't hook up under some bozo, because then you're going to go in the circus with him. He's a clown and you now clowning. So you in the circus. If you don't want to be in the circus, make sure you don't marry a clown. Do you understand what I'm saying? That makes sense, doesn't it? Isn't that wisdom? You're going to have agitation, disturbances, tribulation, and pressure, and that's for anybody married. Even those who's married well, you're going to have some of it. How much you have depends on how maturely you date and how well you know the person before you marry them and how well you know yourself. Referring to the commitment to live with someone else above oneself, marriage is a certain loss of freedom. The flesh will feel the pressure of this loss. No matter how compatible you are, marriage brings many opportunities to walk in the flesh. Now look at verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please whom?
His wife.
Now notice God saying that's what you're going to do. You're going to carry some cares of things related to your wife when you get married that you don't have to worry about when you're single. And you're going to carry some things related to it. That means if you are selfish, you're not going to like the institution called marriage, because you can't just think about you. You have to think about another. And if you are selfish and you get married with yourself and say, this is where I expect to be, this is where I want to be, now you can start being everything I expected my husband would be. Well, I expected something different. I don't want to do that. She expects, well, I'm not your sex toy. I don't do that. I'm not your prostitute. Yeah, but I expected my wife would do all this. Well, that I ain't doing. Hey, I don't swing from the trees like that, baby. I'm sorry. You know, and this guy's upset about that. And she's like, where this coming from? I told you about the woman who was dating the guy, and they ran off, got married, you know, didn't consult the pastor, go through counseling, ran off, got married, then came back, and she was complaining to the pastor, and she said, Pastor, he said, what's wrong? Y'all guys only been married like you know, 2 or 3 weeks. I think I made a mistake. Made a mistake? You just been married like 2, 3 weeks. You just got back from the honeymoon. Pastor, you know, he was just so nice and so sweet, but I don't think I really knew him. What's wrong? You know, when we went on a honeymoon and, you know, we started making love and I heard some of the vilest words come out of his mouth. He started cursing. He started referring to my body parts by all these nasty words. And I mean, he was just, you know, hit it, bump it, bang it. And all the curse words that go along with that whole type of thinking. Like he was singing a rap song to her. And she could not believe this was coming out of this Christian man. I want to you. I want to do this to you. And all these curse words. And this man's born again, spirit filled, played the game real nice. And she didn't date him long enough. They was in love. Didn't want no premarital counseling. Somebody to help him bring that stuff out. She just went ahead and got married. And now she's married. The pastor's advice to her was, well, you know, pray for him. Ain't nowhere in there for you to get out. Pray for him. Yeah, but I don't like him saying that. Well, communicate that to him. Well, he gets mad. He said, I'm telling him what to do. Well, pray for him. A lot of people in that situation, it's not what you thought it would be, and you wouldn't listen to anybody telling you how it was going to become, did you? You can't divorce somebody because they curse, smoke, drink. You can't divorce them for stuff like that. You just pray for them for stuff like that. You can't divorce them if they despitefully use you. I'm not talking about in a physical abusive sense, but all this emotional abuse, forget about all that. If your emotion is so weak that anybody can abuse them, you need to grow up. If ain't nobody touch you, get over it. You don't understand. Children, I believe in emotional abuse because they're too immature to be able to defend themselves mentally. You're a grown person. Somebody look at you and call you ugly and you talk, I want to divorce him. He emotionally abused me. He say I'm ugly. He say I'm fat. He say I don't look pretty. I'm just tired of hearing it. I just can't take it anymore. Well, who are you going to find that's going to say everything good about you? Are you fat? Are you ugly? Are you those things? If you are, then you just run into folks telling you the truth. If you're not all that, look at yourself and say, I don't know what planet he's from. That's not me. There's no reason for you to be tripping on it. Talk about emotional abuse. I want to get divorced because of emotional abuse. You're abusing yourself more than anybody to be moved by other people. Let's go on. I want to get into that a little bit more. I got some stuff on that coming up. Those verse 33, but he that married careth for the things of the world and may please. I mean, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. You mean to tell me somehow, I'm not talking about ungodly, but a married man has to be tied more into the world. Let's say, for example, a brother can live paycheck to paycheck. When he gets married to a woman, he's got to be concerned about budgets a little more. He's about concerned about all this kind of stuff because you got more expenses. You got other people spending money. You got to watch checkbooks tighter. You got to do all that stuff tighter. Yeah, those are worldly things, but you got to pay more attention to those things. Why? Because these things please your wife. You may not care about paycheck to paycheck, but women do not like living paycheck to paycheck. Brothers don't care, but women have a connection to money. I'm not talking in a negative sense, but money to them provides security. And because women basically are depending on men as the depender, no matter what happens, I lose my job, whatever, I still believe you're going to take care of me, then she's looking at you and she wants to make sure you have that ability. So if you are paycheck to paycheck and she knows just around the corner we could go under and I could be a bag lady, I'm going to have a problem. She's going to have a sexual problem. She's going to have a problem giving herself to you. She's going to have a problem with everything because women have a tie into money because they know that somebody is supposed to be providing. And if that provision is not stable, it makes them unstable. And men need to understand that you can't live paycheck to paycheck. I've done it, tried it. Ms. Cook ain't happy about it when I do stuff like that. I don't have a need for it, but she has a need for the financial security like all women do. And men, if you don't want to live on a budget and do things right and make the right decisions, you're going to have problems out of your wife because she's designed like that. She needs that security because she's, I always define and say, I think some women are just one, in their mind, they're 1 week away from being a bag lady pushing a cart. So they want to make sure that doesn't happen. So this week they're making sure everything's got to be right now. Everything's got to be straight right now. The guy's like, look, it's all right. We're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Counsel people all the time on that. I've gone through that. Helen and I. No, she needs that. You got to mind the things to please your wife. You might have a wife that throws money away and still will blame you. Thank God I'm not the kind of wife. But you might have a wife that goes to the mall all the time, throws her money away and still blames you when you don't have money accumulated. Well, that means you should have been man enough to say no. You don't spend it. Oh, women get upset then. Well, you know, you spend it, you treat me wrong. We never have anything. You say no anyway. No. That's not a wise thing to do. We're not going to do. Don't go do it for yourself and not do it for her. You live on a budget and do it for both of you. A man will stand up and say, I am the provider. I'm responsible for providing. Sometimes a man got to look at his wife and say, look, you quit trying to be the provider. You ain't the provider. Because sometimes you have women that will come in and try and make decisions of a provider when she is not. Look, don't tell me what to do with this. Suggestions, all that's fine. I ask your opinion, all that's fine. But don't tell me what to do with how to provide. No more than I would tell you how to do whatever your role is. Stay out of each other's role and stay out of each other's business, and then you'll get along a lot better. Walking in love, respecting other people and where they have, they're supposed to be, have authority. Respecting that. When people go to work, most people respect their boss's authority. Most women in America don't respect their husband's authority. They literally get mad when you talk about submit to him. And I'm not talking about slavery. Get Sister Helen Cook's teachings on all that other stuff about how it's all balanced. I don't have time to go on that right now. We have plenty of information in bookstore on that. But get a hold of that. Get a hold of P. Bunny Wilson's book, Liberated Through Submission. It explains what it is, and it's not maniacal dictatorship. I agree with women 100%. Ain't nobody trying to be your slave, man. But sometimes women have a different definition of slavery. If you say cook, I went to work, I come home, cook, iron, wash the clothes, they think that's slavery. But if she's a stay-at-home wife, my wife stays at home. She does those and she loves it. But I made sure I looked around and I saw my wife's mother and she's domestic. I wanted a traditional woman. I wanted somebody who doesn't mind cooking and sewing and washing. She don't have to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. She can put her shoes on. But I wanted her to be my wife. I wanted her to love me. I didn't mind going out taking care. I wanted these things to be like that. So I looked at her mother, and her mother was like that. So I knew her model was not a 1990s woman who doesn't know how to cook a thing. You know what I mean? Can't boil water without burning it. I didn't want no woman like that because I didn't want to have to step up and be the woman. I can cook, but I didn't want to step up and have to get into the woman's role. If you're a man and wants to cook, I'm not calling you feminine or anything, but when I was single, I cooked. And I didn't just warm up dinners. I knew how to cook. I could cook the turkey. I could cook. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be able to go to work. And eventually, at some point, my wife be at home and do the wifey things and be a homemaker to where I can come home to a warm, beautiful, peaceful, quiet home. And somebody to be there with the kids and somebody to do these different things. I didn't make the wisest decisions all the time, so Helen worked a little bit longer than I actually would have liked her to work, but she was helping me out. So I didn't make the best decisions, but I knew not to marry somebody whose mother wasn't like the way I wanted her to be. Because I remember Pastor Butler saying, if you want to know what she's going to be like 20, 25 years, look at her mother. If her mother's hard-headed and rebellious and divorced for the third time, you better check her out because that tape's running in her head. And she's going to start playing it when she gets married. And if her mother fights with her dad and disrespects him, you better pay attention to that. That doesn't necessarily mean don't marry her, but that's a concern, question mark. I got to make sure she doesn't have that in her. I have to find out how to make sure. I have to study and read because I don't want any of that. Don't want it. It says in, where are we at, verse 34? There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Notice they say wife, virgin. They just assume that the virgin is somebody who's not married. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman who is the virgin, that's where it was supposed to be. That's where it's supposed to be. The unmarried woman, the virgin, care for the things of the Lord that she may be holy. Now, what should you be doing as a single woman? You should be caring for the things of the Lord that you might be holy. In what? Now, you don't want some guy dragging you off into the bedroom because that isn't being holy in body and spirit. You don't want to be so desperate and needy and afraid you're going to lose him that he can go get sex somewhere else and I really like him. All my friends say he's a good man and he say if he can't get some, we ain't going to be together. You know what, Skippy? Skip. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. See ya. You be woman enough, a godly, holy, and body and spirit woman enough to say, if that's all you want from me, you're not good enough for me. If you're going to tell me that I have to sin or you're going to leave me, I'm glad I found that out. Go. Because that's the ultimatum he's giving you. He's telling you, if you don't let me between your legs, I'm going to leave you. Do you think he cares? He's telling you right now what he's interested in. I'm interested in what's between your legs. Is that not what he's saying? And it's not like he stuttered when he said it. You just didn't want to understand it. No, he really loves me. Just because he says, I love you, we talked about that yesterday, get to tape. He doesn't love you, he loves himself. When he picks you up in fellowship with God and drops you home out of fellowship with God and you need to repent, he was not a spiritual head to you. He was not a blessing. He was not taking you close to God, and you, not his fault, you, unless it was rape, you were not being a good single woman, minding the things that doth please the Lord. But she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So when you get married, there'll be times when your husband wants sex and you may not want it. But there'll be time when you want sex and he may not want it. Generally, it's more the other way because of the sexual cycle we talked about yesterday. It is the will of God that you care for the needs of your spouse above your own needs. Listen to that. Now, needs got to be reasonable because some people are crazy. But what I'm telling you is make sure you don't marry somebody who's too high maintenance because you will spend 24/7 in their opinion of what you should do. That's what I call needy people. And needy people will wear you out because it's almost like, okay, I had to be your servant for a week. And you got some people say, oh, just make dinner, that'd be fine. Other people talk about, ding, ding, ding. I need you to wipe my nose.
Ching, ching, ching. Could you bring me some coffee? Ching, ching, ching. Could you go back and put cream in it? Ching, ching, ching. Could you run me some bath water? That kind of person would drive you crazy because they're just too needy. Got too many needs. Be careful about that. People will show you that. These people that talk about, I love you, I can't do without you. Remember what I say? Run. If somebody tell you, baby, you are everything to me, I just love you, God divinely brought you to me, you are the perfect woman, you're the woman I've been waiting for, I don't know how to live without you to this point, I could never live without you, I can't take a breath without you, run. Run. That person, woo, you talk about needy? Lord, I like the person says, you know what, I don't need you, but I sure do love you. And I want to be with you for the rest of my life. And I choose to be with you. If you died, I'd marry somebody else and I'd go on. But I choose to be with you. That's a person who is in the real world saying, what I give to you because I love you, not because I'm getting something from you. I don't need you to make me feel special. I don't need you to maintain my happiness. I don't need you for that. I want to give to you. I've got so much I want to give to somebody. And you're just an awesome person to give it to. Not because you're needy, but because I just think you're wonderful. And I want to give it to you for the rest of my life. There's nothing wrong with minding and meeting the needs of the other person, but you'll never meet the needs of a needy person because their needs never stop. So you won't meet their needs. You'll just all the time be dragged on to give, to give, to give, to give. And nobody wants to do that. That's why you want to marry whole people. Because if you, so all this stupid stuff about, oh, you know, we're so perfect because, you know, like where I'm short, he's strong and so forth. And, you know, where I bring my half, he brings his half. We compliment each other. You make a whole. If it's two people, it ought to be two wholes. If you get two people and you only get one hole between you, you short a hole. And then what you each do is you suck on each other. I don't mind a compliment, but I don't want that person who's, somebody talk about, well, I'm looking for somebody, I'm not even going to say compliment. I don't think I want that. You want somebody who's compatible with you, not somebody who's complimentary. Oh, where I'm weak at, then they're blessed are two, the Bible says, when one is weak, the other will be strong. But he's talking about two holes, and he knows times in life you might miss a little, but the other person can't feel that gap if they don't have that gap filled in themselves. If you got half a person where half of their holding is missing and they got half their holding is missing, some of that missing is in the same place, so ain't blessed when they're two halves because they still going to lack. A person cannot give what they don't have. They can't supply what they don't control. I cannot give to you something I have missing because when I married you, I got stuff missing, you got stuff missing, and we just hooked up and stuff is missing. You want to find a whole person. Now, before you go looking for one, you got to be a whole person or you won't draw them, attract them, or recognize them. Get rid of the old baggage. Let's go on. If I get stuck, it's all so good. Verse 35, and this I speak. Well, actually, the comment on verse 34 is, it is the will of God that you care for the needs of your spouse above your own needs. If you study God's divine order in marriage and you need to know it when you're single, it will be number one, always God. When you get married, number two is your spouse. Pastor Cook, when do my needs come in? After your spouse's needs. If you get somebody too needy, you may never get time to your needs because you're attending to their needs all day. Be very careful. You may not understand the dynamics of that, but just trust me, I know. Not because of experience or anything like that. I've counseled enough people and I can see it through their experience. If you've got somebody with high amount of need, you will never get to getting your needs fulfilled because they'll be too selfish to even think about you. They're busy thinking about them and they want you to think about them. These are people who can tend to be extremely jealous, extremely self-centered, extremely demanding. They need high amounts of maintenance and attention because they're thinking about themselves all day and they wonder why you're not thinking about them all day. And they'll quote to you the scripture, see, you're supposed to think about me all day. You don't want to marry somebody who's thinking that. You want to be able to think about the needs of your spouse and the needs be reasonable and within refrain. It is the will of God that you care about the needs of your spouse above your own because God's divine order is God first, your spouse. If you have children, your children. Then you've got coming down to When I say God, of course, that's your spiritual needs. Because if you ain't spiritual and spend your time with the Lord, you don't do that, you're not going to be able to minister to the rest of your family. But you got to minister to the Lord and his needs, and then the needs of your spouse, then the needs of your children. Then you go down to the needs of yourself and being able to stay whole and going on. Then you got the needs of your family. Your job's going to come in there. And people say, what about my in-laws? Don't get married to people who are too stuck on their parents. They've got to be able to leave them. Don't marry a man who's living with his mama. He's got to be able to leave her. Now, it's different if she lived with him, he owned the house, she lived with him. But be careful. Let them get out on their own. Like Pastor Butler told Helen, he said, don't marry him right now. He needs to get out on his own. He's been living with his mother and dad all his life. It will help you. It will help him develop as a man if he gets on his own. So I went off to Bible school by myself when we were going to get married that year, and she was going to go with me. We went to tell him we want to get married, and we're going to Bible school, marry us. We've been dating 4 years, communicatively doing the right things, getting married. And he said, no. My pastor told me no, he would not marry me. And he thanked us later because he said, you guys were the only ones I said that to. And they didn't run off and get married anyway. He thanked us for listening to him. But I said, well, you're my pastor. If you got a good reason, why not? I mean, I love her. We dated 4 years. I think everything's fine. But a year is not going to kill us. I was disappointed by it. I was set back. I always knew I could go off and get married anyway. He wouldn't have put us out to church. But I said, if pastor think I should wait a year ain't that much. Because I'm going to be married 30, 40, or 50 years. And I waited 4 years, all up until that age, 25 then. I said, ain't that much. So I gave him that year. And then that year that I was gone, I'm not going to say I learned a whole lot, but I did have tremendous opportunities with God and to get to know God that I wouldn't have gotten to get to know if I'm involved in my first year of Bible school and my first year of marriage at the same time. I wouldn't have had the time to go in. My experience going to heaven was when I was there and there was nobody else. When I came home to my house and nobody's there. And I turned the TV or whatever off and it's totally quiet. And I'd worship and praise God and had experience of going to heaven. I seriously doubt if I'd ever had that if I was in my first year of marriage and my wife was in the house. Not because she would have stopped it, but she's doing what she's doing. And even that could be distracting. And I probably would have been so concerned about her and making love and enjoying her and she enjoying me and us talking about school and being so excited. We would have just said, that's the Lord. That's our time with the Lord. So actually, it was wisdom in that. But you don't know it till you yield to the counsel. I trusted he knew a little more about marriage than I did and so forth. And he wasn't saying we couldn't get married. He just wanted us to take that time. And he told her because he knew if I asked her to follow me, she'd follow me over him. She ain't trying to date him. She'd follow me. And he had me leave the room. He told her, no matter what he says, don't go. Don't follow him there. If you love him, let him go and let him mature some more and let him grow up. Not particularly because I was immature, but he knew I would mature more. And he said then, if you all still want to get married, I will marry you. Point blank, no question. I will marry you. I've already talked to you all enough that if you want to get married next year, I will marry you. If you still want to get married next year. Go out and have some time apart. Let it cool off. Mature. And it was good. But a lot of people wouldn't listen. They'd do what they want to do. You trying to stop me from getting my good thing. And this I speak in verse 35. You don't know her like I know her. You got Deborah. You getting yours. You trying to stop a brother from getting his. All kind of foolishness to come up when you don't want to pay attention. And this I speak for your own. Listen to what Paul said here. He talked about the husband and wife, talked about married person. You need to understand single person. You're supposed to be minding things to please the Lord. What are you supposed to be doing? Is that man you about to marry minding the things to please the Lord? No, he's busy working. He ain't got time for church. That'll tell you something. The single man of God goes to church if he's the kind of man you want to marry who you think is going to be a godly head of your life. And you don't have to drag him and remind him. He's there saying, let's go. The single man who's godly minds the things to please the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is not getting in your underwear. But that may be what he spends most time minding. That'll tell you something about him. Now, some brothers didn't know and didn't get in. They just started to go to church. You give them some grace. Give them some time. If they got other good things, give them some time. But let them know this is over with. We don't play that game no more. We starting new right now. We're not doing that. Not doing that again with anybody till we get married. And you find some will leave. But thank God, aren't you glad you came and found out that's all they wanted anyway? They were totally infatuated with your body. Because if you had something later, you could end up with an unwanted divorce when you had a mastectomy or you started getting heavy after babies or something. He could have just jetted on you. All he was interested in was the way you look. I love to find that kind of stuff out. If I was a woman, if If I was a man, I want to find out they're crazy before I say I do. Because just because you say I do doesn't make them right.
That's right.
All it does is now you're locked in with them. I want to find out all I can. If somebody can help me find out, Pastor, counsel us. Show me what he is. Show me what she is. He may be able to trick me, but I don't think he's going to trick you as well. Show me. Put the word on him, Pastor. Put the word on her. If she's Jezebel, I want to know. There's a sermon the Lord gave me. I might get a chance to teach it. He gave it to me on the way to work, on the way to church today. You know, I work at the church, so it's work in my mind, but it's really joy. But on the way in today, and I wrote it down there, and it's kind of interesting because I was reading it to Helen. I say I may have a chance to get to it. I might just share it with the men. He says, help meets add value, not weight. And then I may talk to the men, or if I have time, I may talk to all you all together about, it's to the brothers. Is she a gold digger, a gold bricker, or a Goldilocks? And I got the rest of the notes on there. So I may get to that. I hope we get to it. But the brothers need to know, is she a gold digger, a gold bricker, or a Goldilocks? Now, doesn't that just make you curious just hearing it? We might talk to that with the men. I was going to roll of a man, but I don't know. We might do that when it's stayed. But the Lord's always giving you something when your mind is stayed on him. Your mind is stayed in the right things. And that's what you need from a man you're going to marry. He don't have to get sermons, but you need to know that God's talking to him. You need to know that he's led of the Holy Ghost. Because remember, wherever he goes, unless it's in the sin, wherever he goes, you have to follow him. Now, one thing you do know is you're willing to go where the Holy Ghost leads your union. But your husband is leading your union if he ain't listening to the Holy Ghost. And if he comes and says, baby, I hear the job market's good in the backwoods of Australia. I want to go to Australia. I always want to go to Australia. And you married him. Pastor, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave my mother. They don't want to come see me. I probably can only see them once every 10 years. You know what I'm going to tell you the word of God says? Support your husband. But he didn't tell me he was going. Doesn't matter. Should have asked him. Should have checked it out. Should have seen if he's flaky or flighty. Should have known what his life plan was for you married him. The will of God is that you support him. You are his wife. If he believes God has something for them, or he just want to go to the backwoods of the Aborigines and live with the natives and wear diapers and just this kind of stuff, then you go get yourself a diaper, get the prettiest one you can, and roll with it. It's the will of God. No, Pastor, you are. And you know a lot of you would not listen to me. And you wouldn't submit to him. If that's you, don't get married yet. Because you need to be somebody to say, I really don't want to go, but nevertheless, not my will, but his will be done. Because he ain't asked me to do nothing illegal or more unethical. And I want to support my man. I be like the woman to say, baby, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I love you. And you know you weren't trained to be the kind of woman in America. So you have to renew your mind to become that kind of woman, because he might say, baby, I'm called to the ministry. And God may call me to be an evangelist, and we're going to travel. And you say, travel? I don't want to travel. See, it could be something that you're not against, but you still don't want to travel. And you got to travel with joy, because you just call alongside to help. Whatever you need, baby, wherever you need. We're going on the road. I don't particularly want to go on the road, but that's where you believe God wants to go. I'm game, baby. And you got to be able to do that happily. And not everybody is that spiritually mature that they can say, God's will is for me to support my husband. My husband believes we should do this. I'm going to be in the will of God and support my husband. It doesn't seem right. I don't lean on my own understanding. I don't see how it's the right thing. I'm going to do it anyway. And that's what you do. You do it anyway. Now, a lot of you aren't there yet. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, am I ready to get married? Helen will talk a little bit about it. But if you're not ready to submit, you have a problem with authority now, you ain't ready to get married. Anybody's authority, your boss, your dad, anybody who's authority over you, if you got problems with that now, you're not ready to get married. Because you need to learn to be in submission. And the same thing with your husband, your future husband. Don't marry a man who keeps telling you about all the jobs he quit because they were trying to tell him what to do. The boss is going to tell you what to do. And he has a right to tell you what to do. You have a right to say, I will continue working or not, but not to get an attitude, a string of jobs he done left. People just don't understand me. And you see him fighting with everybody, the government, and arguing with everybody all the time. And that's not the kind of man you want to marry. Now, he can grow out of that and mature out of that spiritually, but give him the time to do that. Otherwise, you want to deal with that trouble in the flesh that he has. Because you'll be the one he'll be fighting with next. And you're the one closest to him, so you'll get most of the fighting. And if you don't want that going on, you better check yourself. You better watch him. He's letting you know. Single people have the freedom of undivided discipleship and discipline. You can just say, when I get home from work, if you work, when I get home from work, I can do whatever I want to do concerning the things of God, concerning prayer. I have a lady in the church now that she's hurt because she says, Pastor Cook, I love volunteering in the ministry. I love working. And on the weekends, you know, you got the leadership meetings and I come to the meetings. I got so much. I went out to John Maxwell's thing with the church. Oh, it's just blessing me. I've never been enlightened like that. It's really blessing me. But what should I do? My husband told me I can't come on Saturdays anymore to the meetings. And, you know, can I go against him because that's a godly thing? I said, we don't have church on Saturday. We're having leadership meetings. We're teaching wonderful principles. There are things to help you grow. And maybe if you don't have a college degree, there are things to help you and excite you. And you're changing. You're learning new things. But if your husband says no, no. If he told you you can't come to Sunday morning service, I'll say ignore him. Jesus is your Lord. But this is extracurricular. This is auxiliary. This is not church service. Obey your husband. She didn't want to. She didn't like it. But she did it. And then she said, okay, I'll roll with it. And she made the adjustment in her spirit, in her heart, and she went with it. But that doesn't mean she doesn't still want to do it, but she's married. And women do the same thing with men. You might want to go play basketball, but she's saying you're gone too much from the family. I don't want you to go play basketball. And if she got a legitimate concern, you have to submit. I don't mean submit to her authority. Submit to God's role that you have to mind the things, please your wife. And don't take that as a blanket scripture that everything your husband wants, you got to do. Everything your wife wants, you got to do. But there are certain things they are entitled to. My wife is entitled to me not to spend more time with another woman than her. She's entitled to me not to be out dating other women. She would be very upset. Even if somebody just worked in the office and she happened to be at the mall and I'm out to lunch. We both go to lunch. We just happen to go to lunch at the same time and we're sitting there having lunch. She's entitled to the fact not to see her husband like that because it presents appearance to other people that she's not taking care of her man. Although ain't nothing going on, I'm not to put her in that kind of situation of embarrassment. Why? I didn't do nothing. Because she's entitled to that. So marriage puts a lock on both people. Just because there's more women here, I'm explaining from women and hitting a lot for you. Don't understand, men give up too. And if you don't marry the right man, he doesn't give up. You know some of the brothers don't give up, don't they, sister? Some of them don't give up. They still play the field. Well, it's okay to look as long as I don't touch. I ain't doing nothing with her, baby, but I don't like you being out with her so much. She worked with me, but why you all got to go lunch together alone? We're talking business. Why can't you talk business in the office? Baby, you just jealous. No, you're putting somebody else in her place. She shouldn't have to see you out with somebody else. Shouldn't be like that. Not alone. Shouldn't be like that. The single people have opportunity to develop faster spiritually than married people. The spouse and children would take a considerable amount of time. You need to be aware of that. Time that could be spent developing yourself spiritually or working in your ministry. Be careful about that. I know a man who was called into ministry. He wanted badly to be married. You know, he wanted to be married, wanted to get married. So he found a nice young girl and he married her. It's a true story. He thought they would both obey the call of God on their lives. Now he wanted to get married. Now he's married and he wanted to go and he wanted to do all that. Wrong. His wife did not want to go into ministry. To this day, as far as I know, this was back in the time. To this day, as far as I know, he is not entering in full-time ministry. Because see, he married a woman who didn't want to go into ministry. And if she's saying I ain't going into ministry and she's being disobedient, he can't drag her into ministry. Helen and I are married, but if she decides I don't want to be in ministry anymore and she takes off, the Bible has something to say about a man that can't keep his household in check ruling the church. Not being able to keep things working with you and your wife. Things don't have to be perfect. They're not going to be perfect in any relationship. But literally, if she just says I'm up and leaving, I probably have to step down. It's going to be circumstances and other things involved. But if it's anything related to the fact you're not showing her love, you're not doing what you should do, you have to step down. Because if you can't rule your own household well, how can you rule our family of God? And the same thing means with other areas. Your kids are all out of order and disrupting and all that kind of stuff. Chaos is going on in your family. How can you rule the house of God? You disqualify yourself for ministry. And if you got a wife that says, look, I'm not going. And I know a pastor who was in town, whose wife stayed on the field more than she stayed home at the church. And that set a bad example for the women at the church. The wife was always gallivanting around the world. He got married and she's gone, let alone his sexual needs. Because part of getting married is to have Eros love as well. Wasn't none for him because she was gone most of the time. They eventually ended up divorced. She married another minister and moved somewhere else, started a church. And left him there, unmarried, trying to run the church. And of course, when they got a divorce, a string went through the church. A couple of associate pastors got divorced. A lot of things went on. People follow the leader. You better watch who's where they're leading, because you're going to follow your husband even if you don't mean to. So but make sure you get under a man that's leading towards God and Jesus. It is essential if you want to be a godly woman that you marry only a godly man. That's right. And that you date only a godly man. Men who are not born again, forget about them. I don't care how pretty the babies are going to be, or how much you think you can change them, or how long you've known them. If they are not saved, you better put them off your list. That's like, bam, that's absolute requirement. Marriage will cause a certain loss of freedom, and it can hinder God's will in your life. Don't rush to surrender your singleness just because you're burning. You might feel more heat after you've gotten married. I'll tell you what heat is. I counsel people on this and different things. Heat is, tell you what you think heat is first. You're a woman, your cycle's rolling around, there's times when you're longing for a man and you really would like a man. And I've had women, it's a God experience, say I want a man inside of me. I feel empty. I feel empty at that time. I want somebody in me. It's her hormones, just like if you had a dog in heat, as it were, at that time, the dog doesn't want to be with a dog another time, wants to be with a dog then. She may call him a dog all the other times, but when she want to be a dog too, she don't mind, he ain't no dog. Come over here and get doggy, baby. I love a dog. Come on. I got a need right now. Just like when he got a need, he's acting like a dog. But he's going to do that more often. But you think burning is having that desire, whether you're male or female, and not being able to satisfy it properly outside of marriage. You think that's burning. Check this one out. You get married. You married the wrong person. They treat you wrong. You're so mad and angry at them. Your body still wants sex, but you hate them. I've had people come in my office who are married, can have sex, want sex, but have not had sex in 7 months and got nowhere to go to get it and no future to foresee it coming anytime soon. That's burning because there ain't no out. A single person always know if I find the right person, I date, eventually I will have sex. There are people married unhappily, they ain't never gonna have it because you know you can't have any sex outside of marriage when you're married. And if you hate that person you're with, that's kind of like, example, I'm going to use Lynn's example. We know Lynn's above this, but let's say Lynn and some guy, Lynn and Tyrone, are, you know, dating. They like each other. They get married and she can't go nowhere else. He can't get nowhere else. They can't step out on each other, but they may have desires, but they can't step out. They're just stuck. And there's no near future short of what? Having to grow up spiritually to where you can love through the differences, to where you can build love again, to where you can build intimacy, to where you can have sex. Meanwhile, your body's still saying, I want sex now. And there's no hope except growing up spiritually because you can't go find somebody else. You can't run off and get divorced to be right with God. Well, I'm divorcing because he won't be with me. I'm divorcing her because she won't be with me. Those aren't right reasons to get divorced. You're supposed to just grin and bear it. Now, that's burning. That's burning, and it's almost like a hopeless burning. That's a whole lot worse than you burning now. So don't rush into marriage thinking it's going to quench the fire, because there's no guarantee it will. Many people who are in here who are divorced now know in those last months and sometimes last years, depending on how long they hung out, there wasn't no sex. And if it was nothing more than instinctual animal releases. It hadn't had any sex since the honeymoon and since it started going bad for years. Some people now have been married 20 years and they had sex because they learned they hate each other a long time ago, but they have a generation where they don't get divorced. No matter what happens, they won't get divorced, but they don't like each other. They have no sexual attraction with each other. They once did at one time, but they don't have it now and they're not willing to grow up spiritually, or they didn't go to a church where they can learn to grow up spiritually. So they're just giving sex up. They've just made themselves eunuchs of necessity. And the other one say, I ain't going to be no eunuch. I'm stepping out on you. These things happen because people don't plan, people aren't patient, and people don't look. What you call love may be blind, but marriage will knock your eyes wide open. I was blind, but now I see. We're going to go ahead and take a 5-minute break, and you guys can go ahead and then we'll start back up. They got to change the CD.